Fuck.
I like your glasses and your hair.
Thank you. I'm growing. I think it's a midlife crisis.
I think it looks really good. I'm going to say that you are in the same ballpark, but about 50 times better looking than Jonathan Torrance.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Yeah. Now, he's in Halifax. How do I, like, take over while he's gone? You know?
Right.
What a career to have.
Canada. It started in Jonavision and somehow just entrenched himself. But I don't know.
He's so charming. And
yeah. He's funny.
I see myself like that. And yet it's never happened. There's no JB-a-vision, no trailer park.
Right.
No Mr. G.
Cheers. Yeah.
Cheers.
Well, you need the equivalent of the drummer from Our Lady Peace on your podcast. Maybe that's me. Is that who it is?
That's somebody, Taggart? That's what I'm hoping.
Okay. All right. Is this a trial? Is this a little...
No, this is... we're going to put this out.
Okay.
This is Politicized, the Ontario Election Edition 2018.
So this is going to still air before the election.
Oh, yeah. This is going to air tonight.
No way. It's just going straight up. No editing.
No. I don't spend too much time. Sometimes I'll go in and mess with the levels if I haven't figured it out on the mixer.
Right.
Sometimes I'll go in and take out dumb shit that I say.
Right.
That's mostly the things that I try and cut out.
Okay.
And then I'll publish it immediately because I've been publishing one or two a week since the election started.
Yeah.
And what I want, it's really good to have wonks on here and experts, but what I really want, what I really think would work is politically engaged, funny people.
Yeah, sure. Well,
I don't think that exists in Canada, does it? For a podcast?
I can't think of it, but let's see what happens. I'm not too politically engaged right now, but I did look at everybody's websites today, and
I did get a call from
Ontario Proud, and then I started reading about Ontario Proud.
Who are they?
I could look them up.
Is that Rob Ford?
It's a one-guy operation.
Is that a Doug Ford thing?
It's meant to be... it's meant to be like Ontarians speaking up for themselves, but it's one guy who used to work for Sun TV News.
Oh, right. I've heard of this guy.
Yeah.
So he's one guy, and yet he's able to make phone calls?
I think maybe there's more people involved now, but it's probably pretty much a small operation.
Anything with Ontario Proud, you know, has nothing to do with pride, one, and has all things to do with the right. It just seems like that's a name that the right would conjure up. It's like that you're either with us or against us.
I'm going to start. Name. Maybe we should save this for the talk. Are we rolling?
This is it.
Are we already
rolling? Yeah, it's happening.
I think it would be a good idea to co-opt, to just start a movement for the pride movement, for the gay community, the LGBTQ community, to co-opt Ontario Proud and just take it over and flood it with positive...
With jizz.
Positive.
With HIV messages. Positive jizz. Positive messages, sorry.
Okay, so you don't edit this before you put it on?
No, I don't.
Okay. I think I'm going to start that. I'm not the right one to start it, but I think Ontario Proud needs...
I don't think you're the right one, no.
No, but...
But why not? Somebody, put the idea out there and say run with it, somebody.
That's what Twitter's for. This is where we can begin. Ontario Proud. So I'm going to look up Ontario Proud.
My new Twitter handle that I'm not going to do is called No More Joneses.
Uh-huh.
It's the opposite of Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Okay.
Like I'll post pics of an argument I had with my wife.
Right.
Or I'll post a pic of my flab.
Okay.
Or instead of what I used to do, I think what the majority of people do is, look how great my life is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start posting, look at the size of this pimple.
That's a good idea.
Look at my shitty old car, got a new dent in it after the windstorm.
Get away from the Joneses.
Something. Something to fight the Joneses.
That's better than my other Twitter account.
What's that?
Werewolf Blitzer. It's Wolf Blitzer, but he's a werewolf. And he does his best to report the news, but he combats his horrible affliction once a month.
So wait a second. How do you post? Give me some examples. Give me some choice werewolf blitzers.
It's a lot along the lines of, you know, today on the Situation Room, we'll be looking at the new developments in the Mueller investigation. Sorry to those I hurt last night. Things like that.
Oh, I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
So does he wear pants? Does he wear loose pants? I'm trying to remember.
Werewolf Blitzer?
The vampire movie from New Zealand.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, that is so good. You would love that movie. What was it called?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
That Happen in the Dark?
This is what we do in the shadows.
This is what we do in the shadows.
It's called We Live in the Shadows, and yes, I did see it. But when you said New Zealand vampire movie, it sounded like a horror to me. But this is a hilarious comedy by Taika Waititi. Is that how we say
his name? Wow, that's good. I was going to say Hakuna Matata.
But you did way better. He also directed Thor Ragnarok. He's very funny.
It's amazing when you go from a New Zealand vampire movie to a Thor Ragnarok, isn't it? But it seems like those big tentpoles need really creative guys without much clout that they can sort of push around and squeeze all their juice out of them.
That's exactly what the Marvel Cinematic Universe needs, and it's working great.
It is.
Yeah.
They get kind of no-name directors sometimes, don't they, that they can push around? Because they got to keep them in the Marvel vein. They don't want some guy with...
Well, they tried Edgar Wright, but he had too much... I guess he had too much willpower to stand
up to them.
Too
much experience.
Too much experience, maybe.
And it didn't work out?
He quit. He quit Ant-Man.
Yeah, see,
and
there you
go. And
brought
somebody on.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about you're up on movies and you're up on politics. Let's talk about your social media diet.
Sure. I went on a one week social media cleanse.
Uh-huh. And how did it go?
It went great. I didn't go on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't make you want to do it anymore.
Well, I know I yell into the microphone sometimes. Monday morning rolled around and it felt like cheat day. And I binged on social media. Yeah.
So you missed it?
Yes, I missed it. There were days when I really wanted to look at Instagram.
Yeah.
And I didn't miss Twitter so much. And I used to miss Twitter a lot more when I used to go off of it. But Instagram I missed very much. I like doing Instagram stories.
What's that?
I'll do one right now.
Wait, are you on Facebook too?
I am on Facebook, and I don't enjoy Facebook very much.
But you're on there. You go on there, and you hate yourself for it?
Yep. I went on there this morning, and I hated myself for it.
Yeah.
And I went on Twitter, and that was okay. And then I went on Instagram, and Instagram was okay too. But Facebook was easily the worst. So here's an Instagram story. You just click on your story up here. Are you on Instagram?
No, I'm not on anything anymore.
Oh, good for you.
Thanks.
So this is an Instagram
story.
So
you're taking a picture of us right now?
I'm taking a video of us.
Oh, you're taking a video. I know. I sound like a dinosaur already, right? What's this?
Do you want to plug your podcast before the time runs out?
Hey, it's Politicized with JB and Paul Bates. Find us on iTunes and Google Play.
There you go.
Kind of.
And then I save it to my... I add it to my story.
You add it to your story.
Boom. And now everybody can see it for 24 hours.
Oh.
That's a really cool thing, I think.
That is really cool, but... Yeah. I found I'm happier being off of social media, except for I worry about being a complete fossil because I haven't kept up with stuff and my children are just going to look at me like you're an idiot.
Well, okay, let's use this as a barometer. Have you heard about the Drake and Pusha T diss track battle?
Yes, I have heard of it.
Then you don't need to be on social media.
Okay,
if you heard
great.
About it.
I heard about it. I saw it on cbc.ca. I saw the headline, and I thought, I don't need to read that.
No, you don't, but it's a great story.
Is it?
Yeah, ask somebody. It's great. The short version is Drake did a diss track on some rapper that I haven't heard of, but who apparently is very popular, named mm-hmm. Pusha T. And Pusha T went nuclear and completely eviscerated Drake back in a diss track, revealing that he has a child with a porn star in Europe.
Drake does.
Drake, allegedly. According to this diss track.
Right.
If the diss track is to be believed.
So is that good?
I know I keep yelling. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's what these are here for. So is that good?
Is it good that it happened?
Well, is that a good story?
I just think it's kind of fun.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm sure if I was there, I would have enjoyed it. And I'm not knocking your retelling of a story skills. It's just one guy making a song. So a diss track is like a...
I'm in my head about my retelling of this story.
Oh, sorry.
No.
So okay. You're good. You're good, Banks.
No. I'm going to unzip.
I didn't mean to hurt you so quickly.
No, it's just, you know, I mean, when I hear that this isn't getting edited and just going straight to the...
Well, that's more a reflection of me and my the lack of skills and patience that I have for this sort of stuff.
Right.
I just want it to be good right away. I don't want to have to put work into it. I'm too lazy.
I
don't have any more ambition.
I obsess over when I record a podcast. I edit every single.
Do you really?
I cut down on pauses. I remove grammatical flubs.
I tried to do that, but I just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
It's so weird that. The levels are so low on the GarageBand and so high in our ears. I don't understand it.
Oh, I don't either.
I don't get
levels,
it.
But I like that you've got a mixer.
Yeah, I had to when I got the third microphone. Okay, so your social media diet is temporary and doesn't last.
A week is the longest. A week doesn't sound like much now that I'm talking about it. I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's people, obviously you don't, you're dark on social media.
I'm dark. And I went dark.
Other friends of mine are also dark on social media.
Yeah. But also, I went dark on porn.
Okay.
March 23rd.
Congratulations.
Was the last time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. How about you? When was the last time you watched porn?
It was a while ago. I don't know if, yeah, I cannot remember the last time I watched porn.
Wow. Good for you.
But I also, yeah, I was like, I'm going to go dark on
I felt that was hurting me.
Yeah.
And it was along the same lines as Twitter and just wasting so much of my time.
It
staring at this phone.
It feels an empty void, but it doesn't fill anything. It's you think it's going to fill an empty void.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It just chips away at the void. It makes it bigger.
I have a question though.
Go ahead.
Does erotic literature count as porn?
No, erotic literature is what we should be reading to each other.
I enjoy some of it.
Is that what you read?
So, well, not exclusively. I'm not.
Who are your favorite authors? I've never even heard of this. I've never talked about erotic literature. Where do you get it from?
On the internet.
So you do, and where do you go to get it?
I don't know. The internet. You just look up stories.
And you read stories.
I don't want to talk about a lot of erotic literature on your
fair enough. But today we're talking about politics and
social media. Let's go back to social media.
Okay, but let me just talk about erotic literature one more time.
Okay.
I think that's great, and I think I would like to try that.
Well, check it out. There's a lot of weird stuff, but
yeah, I like
a lot
it weird.
Of fantasy.
Yeah.
A lot of weird science fiction stuff, I think.
Oh, yeah. Our voices got quieter.
Yeah. I think there's way too much. There seems to be a high level of... that's just gross to even talk about. But there's a lot of incest stuff that people are into.
That's weird. No, but yeah. That's a natural thing. People are really into incest.
Are they?
Yeah, because when I used to watch porn... And I don't know why I call it watching porn. It's like watching football. It's not watching porn. You're jerking off while you're looking at porn.
Yeah.
If I put in, like, I really liked, what was the cleaning lady fantasies? Like, that was a big one for me. I loved that.
Oh, sure.
Like, whoops. Oh, it's like those things.
Yeah.
And somehow, because cleaning ladies are sometimes older...
Sure.
You would get into, like, MILFs.
Yes.
And then from that, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to you're banging your own mom or mom and son. And I just always thought the amount of this is surprising to me because that's not my thing at all.
It is definitely the line that I drew. I was just like, I can't read this or watch it.
Yeah. But that, I mean, it's a total, to me, it seems perfectly natural. Psychologists would tell you a lot about, well, it's because of this and this thing. But I mean, come on, you sucked on your mom's tits when you were a baby. You know, we're hardwired for this weird shit.
But I heard that it is the most popular
subcategory. Oh, God.
People love it. It's popular.
To me, it feels like we're so far away from living our our true selves when you hear stuff like that, you know? It's a gazillion-dollar industry, but nobody, I don't watch that. That's disgusting. You know what
there
I mean?
There is, yes. There's definitely a divide there. We are entertaining fantasies online that nobody is talking about, except you and me.
I want to talk about it.
On your podcast.
I want to talk about it. It becomes less scary.
Well, yeah. Well, we should live our true selves.
We should. But we're so uptight here.
Well, I don't think... There's got to be a middle ground between living one's true self and not actually having sex with their mother or sister.
Yeah. So that would be back to incest porn.
I guess you're right. Oh, God. Oh, I'm so
at least
sorry.
No one's getting hurt.
Is it a victimless
unless
crime?
Yourself?
Yeah. Well,
you're hurting yourself.
You are hurting yourself in that you are entertaining yourself with fantasies that are probably going to... I don't know. You know what? No, I'm not going to judge because maybe there's people
good.
Out there.
Good idea.
I've got friends out there who are way more sexually liberated than me.
Yeah.
Maybe this is extremely helpful for them in their relationships.
No, that's totally true.
But for me, pornography makes me feel worse
horrible.
About myself.
I felt horrible.
Yeah.
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 I was like, what am I doing? How long has this been going on for? You know, I come out of a fugue state with fugue all over my hand.
Oh.
Hey now. Okay, so let's get back to politics.
We haven't even covered social media yet.
Right.
I went on it because social media was probably doing the same thing that pornography does. I was using it when I felt bad about myself to fill a hole.
Yeah.
And that was more about just staring at my screen, I think, and feeling that radiation than actually seeing what my friends were up to. Because the news more than less made me feel worse about myself.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, there's the kind of news where when I used to subscribe to The New Yorker, you'd read like a 10-pager, and you just thought, this is the most amazing investigative journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so well written. Somebody spent a year researching it. Holy shit, this is incredible that you can pay for this stuff in this clickbait day and age.
Yeah.
But then the other stuff, the daily stuff, the daily onslaught of idiocy.
Uh-huh.
It's a pipeline of sadness.
Yes.
And when I turn it off, I notice two things. One, I was happier, but two, I was totally out to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And now trying to do an explainer. So my thought was, I'll do an explainer podcast. I'll get people who have read the news to come and explain stuff to me on my podcast.
Oh, that's
won't have to read.
Yeah.
But then I don't know the questions to ask.
Oh, right.
So I still find myself, I'm back on the news.
Well, I have to tell you, the best part of my social media cleanse was that when I felt the urge to go online, instead of going on a social media site, I went to the New York Times website and I actually read the news. And that felt great.
That's better. That's progress.
Yes. Because there are op-ed pieces and there are like human interest stories or just stories about parts of the world that you didn't know about before. And then there's reasoned, leveled journalism about politics.
That's also something I love. I find the partisan stuff so boring because it always falls into the category of talking points and spin.
Yeah.
And that's it. But when you can actually have a real conversation, it doesn't happen on... in the mainstream media. There's no bipartisan objective. It's always screaming from the right or the left, don't you think?
Definitely on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems to be the only way they know how to fill their 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
I think in print, I think media is still reasonable and balanced.
Well, some, like maybe the Globe and Mail. I don't know about the Star.
The Star does feel a little more hacky than I remember it. And maybe that's because, I don't know, maybe I've changed and not them. I don't know.
And somebody told me that newspapers are going the way of op-eds, of opinion pieces, because they're cheaper to make. And people love reading them.
Cheaper to make, faster to produce.
Yeah.
And then everybody gets to sound off in the comments. And that way the papers can show their advertisers that people are reading.
Right.
Right?
But then you're not actually getting journalism.
No, you're getting Sue Ann Levy.
Who's Sue Ann Levy?
Sue Ann Levy is an op-ed columnist in the Toronto Sun who exists only to provoke with usually like terrible opinions that are kind of like contrarian, usually very anti-feminist, often homophobic. I'm probably
but you read
slanderous.
Her. Like, Do you read her?
Not in a while. Not if I can help it.
Yeah.
But she herself is gay and you would.
Oh, I
see. So it's this weird.
So she's a self-hating. I'm gonna do this to show you that I'm in control. Like that Miros guy. I'm going to fuck with everybody even though I'm a flamboyant gay man.
Maybe.
And I'm going to get fired from Breitbart.
I don't know. It feels like a lot like what Christy Blatchford does too in the National Post, who was Gian Gomeshi's greatest defender.
Right.
When this whole, when his, you know, punching women in the head thing happened.
It feels like there are those journalists or writers out there that just want to be heard, and they'll say whatever. Is being a contrarian, is it worthwhile? Because I found myself taking a contrary approach just in here on this podcast, just to try and get some balance, because I don't know any right wingers.
Right.
So I would sort of play the foil.
I think that's good. I think that's smart hosting. I mean, that's different than picking an issue and finding the least popular point of view on that issue and running with it so that you will keep people incensed and stay controversial and, you know, make your paycheck worthwhile.
At least they're not anonymous, which is the entire internet.
Yes.
The hate comes out without a name attached to it. This sounds more like the way Jason Kenney has this sort of well-known, worst-kept secret contempt for his voter base.
Oh, yeah.
But he's just such a politician. It's the game that he loves.
Right.
So behind closed doors, he'll be laughing at his base.
Right.
But in public, he's in there, he's glad-handing, he's kissing babies. But when he goes home and turns on his Gregorian chants, he's just like and drinking his brandy in a giant snifter and petting his evil cat. He's just like up there to win. That's it.
Jason Kenney. Which one was he? Was he the very angry one?
He's the angry one that united the right in Alberta, and now he's the leader of the United Conservative Party of Alberta.
I feel like it was him who was kind of like criticizing Toronto elites all the time.
Yeah.
Unless there's one other one that I can't remember.
He was a star cabinet member with Harper.
Yeah, I can't remember any other Harper cabinet members except for him and Tony Clement. I've forgotten the rest.
That was a tough one to love, too, Tony Clement.
You wanted to love Tony Clement because he's like this music nerd, and he seems like an okay guy, but he just kept lying to people?
Just kept on lying. Yeah. Oh, that's another thing I don't do anymore is lying. I read a book called Lying by Sam Harris.
That's really good.
And I realized how much I was lying. Like, all the time, for no use.
What kind of lie?
Well, I just won't say any. I used to, if I'm late, sorry, traffic.
Ah, yes,
it wasn't traffic at all. It was because I didn't leave enough time.
Right.
So little ones all the way up to Santa Claus.
Have you told your kids that there's no...
Well, I started, and then my wife said, can you give me a year on this one?
Right.
Because she gave me the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, and is there another one?
And Santa Claus. Well, was she giving you these things? It's like, you have to kill one of them?
No. She was saying, can you save the big one?
Oh, got it.
Okay? The five-year-old isn't ready for this.
Yeah.
And I thought, fair enough. So that's a tough one around Christmas. Like, they know that the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny is us.
Yeah.
But Sam Harris in this book was like, why are we lying about Santa Claus? Christmas is amazing enough. You get presents. You see your cousins, your grandparents. You eat all this food. You have time off. We also need an ancient cautionary tale with a co-opted pagan fat pedo in a giant beard?
I mean, the jury's out on pedophilia.
Look, you can read the signs. He's a big, jolly, fat guy with a whole bunch of toys. Home invasions? Give me a break.
I'm with you on the lying, but I decided long ago that I will not be the one to break the news to Brennan about Santa Claus. I decided that there's not enough. There's so few reasons to believe in magic.
There's so few reasons to believe in magic.
That why?
There's magic all around us, though.
But we don't.
Look at your phone. Your car. You have an electric car. That's magic.
It's a hybrid. That's science.
Yeah, and science, if you don't understand it, is magical.
Oh, boy.
You don't know how a plane works.
No.
It's just fucking amazing.
Okay, all right. It's great. Yes.
Have to say the plane is powered by fairies?
I still look in wonder at the science of Wi-Fi, the home battery that Elon Musk made, and space travel. Yes. I still wonder at that, but magic I think magic's a different thing.
Have you taken Brennan to Harry the Wanderer at that bar over on Bloor and
Harry the Wanderer at a bar?
Yeah, there's a once a month magic show, sleight of hand, basement of what was it called? The Minerva? That's not what it's called. Something like that. And it's a brew pub, and you go into the basement, you pay $20, and Harry the Wanderer does sleight of hand for you, and it's for people ages 8 and up.
Well, I will definitely take him to this.
Because yeah, Henry B. loved it.
The only reason I want to go back to Los Angeles is to go to the Magic Castle again.
Did you get in there?
Yes.
How'd you get in there?
My friend had passes that had been given to her by a magician.
Wow.
So my friend Doug and I went to the Magic Castle.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And when Brennan found out that there was such a thing as the Magic Castle, he was just like, well, why wasn't I there?
When I went there, after we came down from the Harry Houdini seance room, Neil Patrick Harris was standing at the bar.
Of course.
Come on. It was such an L.A. moment. I loved it.
Oh, man.
It's a special place. Okay, there's also a magic show that you should know about. Derek Delgado's
Okay.
In New York City till August. It's produced by Neil Patrick Harris and directed by Frank Oz.
Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yes, my friend Mark Andrada just told me about it, and I really want to go.
I really want to go, too.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
And there is a magician who apparently just runs his own theater in Hamilton.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and I need to look into that.
Yeah.
So maybe if your listeners know what I'm talking about, they could, you know, just like shout it off in the comments.
Yeah, there's no comments.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not very good at wanting feedback.
Got it.
I can't handle it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing this for purely out of appreciation for talking to people.
Are there listeners?
I haven't checked. And I've done no marketing.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
Well, my Instagram story is going to change everything.
I think it's going to, where we are now to your, with your potential, it's going to be big.
I can already tell you who has viewed my Instagram story.
Oh, boy.
11 people have seen it.
Wow.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Jennifer Whalen of Baroness Von Sketch Show has seen it.
Oh, that's a great show.
Anand Rajaram of the Toronto Theater Scene has seen it.
Of the Toronto Theater Scene.
Yes. Alessandra Vitae, she's an influencer. So
I feel so out of touch and old. You know, when I say that to my guests, when people act like I had this political science prof on last week, and he said after we recorded, so how many people do you have? And I said, I have no idea. And he wasn't buying my argument for being disconnected from life, from the internet, so I could live my life. And I was telling him, this is the way. We've got to get off of all this shit. And he was like, I could see in his eyes he was disappointed. Like, if I'm not going to work towards getting an audience, why is he coming on? And he had a good argument.
Right.
So my plan is to try and rope somebody else into doing it for me.
Well, you want to be able to tell your guests that a lot of people listen to this.
This is really popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I do.
Maybe it's time to start lying again.
I don't know.
I do. I respect
that a lot.
It feels
so good not to lie.
I respect that a lot. I came to, like, I was on, I was working on a show a few years ago, and I was talking to a guy on the crew, and he was saying something, I can't remember. It was either absurd or offensive. And I kind of just went, yeah. And it was that day that I kind of promised myself that I would stop just eating people's bullshit.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And say I disagree with them if I feel like I disagree with them.
And if you can do it without the ego involved, without losing your cool, which was always my cross to bear.
Right.
If you could just be like, no, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
It's so much better. And also, I like to pair that approach with good thing, bad thing, who knows? You don't know if something's bad.
Right.
Something in your life. Or it's good. In the long run, who knows?
Yeah.
So maybe you saying to somebody's bullshit, I reject your bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that could actually give them permission to be like, oh, well, then I'm going to drop this. Because I think it's bullshit, too. And I don't know why I was doing it.
I don't know why I said that to you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so tired of...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your honesty. That's so refreshing.
So tired of saying things and then thinking to myself, why did I say, who was I pleasing? Who was I hoping to please?
Yeah, because we all do that. We try desperately to please and then we go away hating ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the bathroom, stare at our phone, and we're like, why the fuck did I say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I stick my foot in my mouth all the time in the hopes of getting laughs.
Oh, God. Me too.
What are you going to do?
I know.
They can't all be home runs.
You just got to get out there and swing.
You got to keep getting up.
Yeah, you got to get up to the plate and just
you
keep
do.
Saying things.
You
got to
keep saying shit. But with a now like a mature intent.
Right.
Not just the jackassery that I practiced for decades, but maybe a little bit of thought, maybe a little slower. Keith Johnstone always said, go with your fourth thought.
Right, yes.
And I thought, oh, that makes so much sense. Not the first idiot thing that comes to your brain.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Those are fun, too. Okay, so how do you get your news, then? You don't have... Do you have TV?
Yes, but I don't watch the news on television.
Okay. So you still have cable?
No.
You don't have cable?
I got rid of cable. I got an HD antenna, which was easily the best $20 I ever spent at the Factory Direct technology store that closed down across the street from me.
Oh, it was convenient, too.
It was so convenient. And I hooked it up. It works like a charm. I pick up CTV, CBC Global, and some Buffalo affiliates.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't watch the news on those channels.
But you don't watch the news. Do you subscribe to newsletters? Does it come piped into your inbox at all?
No. I get one newsletter. It's from the Men in Blazers podcast. It's all about soccer. And I don't read it.
And you don't read it, but you like it to come in there. See it.
I scan through it sometimes.
You delete it.
I'm a real fan of that podcast.
Oh, I see. You're a real fan of the podcast, but not the newsletter.
Because I have a short attention span.
Do you get most of your news from podcasts?
No.
Twitter?
Yes, probably Twitter. But then I got off social media for a week. And going back to my news timeline. I made a little news. Oh, you can make, on Twitter, you can make lists. And so you can make a list of certain people. So you click on that list, and you get just the stuff that you're interested in. And I've made two lists. One's all about the World Cup, and one's all about mostly American journalists, because I got very obsessed with following news about Donald Trump.
So this was, okay, first of all, just a quick sidebar. Do you like explaining how Twitter works to me? Or is it like, are you rolling your eyes going, oh my God, you don't even know about lists?
I felt like I should do it for your edification and maybe for the audience as well.
I appreciate it. Okay, so these lists. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen the lists thing.
Sorry, I bumped the table.
I never explored them. So that's the echo chamber. That's the narrowing of people's information. So you only see what you like. Is that what people talk about?
Yes. Yeah. Twitter. The great thing about Twitter is that you can curate Twitter. You can curate your Twitter feed. I'm not a polite person when it comes to Twitter. I don't follow everybody on Twitter. Like everyone who follows me, I do not follow them back.
Good.
Because I'm mostly not interested.
Yeah. You're creating some scarcity. You're a bit rough.
I'm trying.
You're a bit tough on them.
I'm trying to curate my Twitter feed to the things that are most interesting to me, which is soccer and Star Wars. And sometimes there's some very funny people who have also kind of like you know, snuck into my Twitter feed because I'm like, oh, this person's very funny.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah. And Clickhole, I follow, which a great website run by The Onion. It's like their version of BuzzFeed, and it's
Clickhole.
Easily
that
one of my favorite
funny.
Websites. Very funny. I highly recommend. But I could not bear to have an inundation of New York journalists on my main Twitter feed, so I had to make a list.
Oh,
so
I
that I would
see.
Go over and look at the list.
You dip into the toxic waters of American politics.
Yes.
Then you feel dirty enough,
yes.
And then you pop out,
yes.
For a cleansing Canadian reprieve.
And that is, in theory, how it was supposed to work. But instead, I would click on that list all the time. Because I couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
I found it very I got very obsessive about it.
Yeah. Just during the 2016 election? Or after?
Afterwards.
After. Like a Trump presidency was, there was always something to see. There's always a fire.
I wanted to know, and I was probably, if I'm being honest with myself, I think I was waiting for the cards to fall. But they haven't. And not
the
enough.
House of Cards is doing great.
The House of Cards is getting bigger. And so and when I came off my social media cleanse, I went on Twitter today, and I went on the list, and it felt like going back to junk food after cleaning your body out of junk food.
Mm.
It was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is, like,
it's trash.
I feel sick.
It's a bunch of convicts. It's a bunch of maniacs down there.
I feel like... I was feeding myself something I didn't need, and being away from it for as long as I have, it evaporated the need, and I'm happy for that. So I don't want to.
But you're not going to get rid of the list. You just don't feel so attached to it.
Yeah, yeah. If shit goes down, I'll be getting on that list. Like, you know, if there's another round of indictments, that's my day. I'm getting on that list, and I'm going to read every.
You're just like, guys, hold all my calls. I'm on my list.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when Ford? Remember when Ford admitted? And we're talking about the late Rob Ford. Remember when Ford? Kind of off the cuff, admitted that he smoked crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was like, you guys didn't ask the right questions. I've been trying to tell you this whole time. I smoke crack cocaine like a maniac. That was my day.
That was a big day for you.
I was on the job. I was doing something, and I was just like, sorry, job. No, this is
sorry,
me.
Guys.
I'm on Twitter all day long.
This is crazy town coming to a big old fat climax.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't actually think there's going to be indictments, do you, in America?
I'm not sure.
Okay, first of all, can you explain to me what an indictment is?
No. I can't.
I can't either.
An indictment is is when charges are formally laid. That's my understanding of an indictment. And listeners, take this with a grain of salt. I might be describing an arraignment right now, but I think an indictment is when charges are formally laid against somebody by the prosecution of, like, you know, a state or country.
I think I get most of my news from self-loathing left-wingers.
I don't like them.
Like Bill Maher.
I don't like him.
You don't like him?
No.
I like a lot of what he says. Some of it is really annoying and short-sighted, but I like the way Bill Maher and Chapo Trap House and Intercepted and Pod Save America all are like, what is wrong with the left?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense to me because this living in hope does not work for me. Hoping that there will be an impeachment of a man that is above the law.
No.
An impeachment is a non-judicial decision.
Right.
So it has no bearing.
I don't think he'll ever be impeached.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he'll ever be indicted. I don't think he's ever going to pardon himself. But it is true that the president, you know, contrary to what Murder at 1600 would have had us believe, that the
what's Murder at 1600?
An old movie from the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Where the president committed murder, and they had to bring him to account.
Right.
But it turns out that the president is above the law.
It's true.
Yeah. Which is a fucked up thing to write into
it's
your Constitution.
Crazy. It's crazy. And is it all in the name of the republic is more stable when the president is
I think it speaks to a high amount of naivete that, that this would ever happen.
Yeah, no one imagined this.
Yeah. What was I talking about? I was talking about... Oh, yeah, I don't think... What I do think is that it will all come out. And what we all believe will be confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will be particularly shocked or surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But then
nothing will happen.
And probably nothing will happen. But
yeah.
He will go down in history as the worst president in American history.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is something.
Until Sia gets elected. She will be horrible.
Which is something.
Yeah.
Like to have lived in a time with two Bushes.
Yeah.
And a sexual predator, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And then for there to be somebody worse. Now, Bill Clinton, to me, wasn't a bad president.
No.
Not that I wasn't really conscious of American politics or any politics back then. But it, like, if you even take the present sort of opinion of Bill Clinton since the sheen wore off,
uh-huh.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That they found somebody even worse. Why don't they reform their electoral system down there?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Can
them
they do
trying?
That?
I mean, they could, but you would need so much. You would probably need 2/3 to 3/4 of the states to sign off on everything. Like, the Electoral College is never going away, even though it's the dumbest thing in the world. I don't see them ever. If they can't change gun laws, they could never possibly change their electoral system.
No, that's true. I count myself very lucky that we can watch that from afar and then come back here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is way more reasonable, even though we're about to descend into Crazy Town, the provincial version.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
How's your mood about that?
Ambivalent. I mean, I'm not... You know what? I mean, one of the great things about not being on Facebook is avoiding the anxiety about the coming election, which I've felt so many times. Like, you know, maybe this is someone in their mid-40s talking right now, but I've been through enough politically anxious campaigns to know that Doug Ford's going to win and the province will survive.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the other thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, people get so worked up.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a liberal rally a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
People need those. People need the political parties like they need a club to join.
Right.
It's just another club.
Yeah.
And the beauty about a political party is that if you become a card-carrying member, there's plenty of people that don't like you but have to be nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be an oddly shaped, socially awkward person and find important social interaction with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's an election time, I mean, now you're the in crowd.
Yes.
So it's, and those are the people that vote in party leaders. Those are the people, those hangers on are the people that are actually there sometimes for some decision making.
I'll say this, though, like the one thing, I think the strongest feeling I had was just profound disappointment that they had this chance. So that dude, Patrick Brown, gets kicked out of his leadership for like a story that evolved after his departure.
Yeah.
And so it all feels really controversial.
It does, because it's not like they were underage, for one thing.
Yeah, he still sounds like a bit of a heel to me.
He does.
Yeah.
He even looks like it.
100%.
Like anybody of our age who has a six-pack and muscles, I just don't trust. Like, how often are you in the gym to obtain that?
Yeah. He looks like American Psycho, but sick.
He looks like the Canadian Psycho.
Yes. Yes.
He totally does. He's a poor man's American Psycho. He's the poor man's Ontarian political Christian Bale.
Yes. Okay, so that happened. He's gone. And then a wide spectrum of potential leaders entered the fray. And among them, there seemed to be some reasonable people. And I've always dreamed of an election where the conservatives run somebody that I would take pause and think about voting for.
I think about it all the time. I would love to. People email me and go, hey, look at this lunatic. He likes Doug Ford and Trump. You should have him on the show. Mm-hmm. And I just want somebody who's reasonable and who will come on here and almost convince me to vote on the right. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
A normal person.
For sure. Yeah, but they've elected the way of weird populism and demagoguery. And they thought, maybe they actually thought, oh man, he's our Trump. This is going to be great. Like, yeah. Maybe they actually thought that.
Yeah. And then in the meantime, the left just explodes mm-hmm. in a hissy fit mm-hmm. and can't figure out how to respond in a normal way. It's amazing how the left immediately stops playing their brand and starts playing to the loudest lunatic in the room.
Right. I feel like as soon as I have voted NDP before, I'm a fan of the NDP sometimes, but I feel that as soon as the NDP sniffs power, yeah. they completely change.
Oh, really? Like what?
Like they start making cynical power moves, which is completely against their brand, right? They're always...
Totally. They're always ideological first.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're helping the people.
And when they have no chance of winning, they sit in that
you can,
so well.
Right. You can say whatever you want. You can yeah. be holier than thou. That's true.
Yeah. Like, this is why I don't really like Andrea Horvath, is because in the last election, there was a very progressive budget that the Liberals put out because they needed the NDP support, and mm-hmm. instead, because they sniffed power, they voted it down, thinking they were going to replace the Liberals, and then they blew it.
Right. Plus, mean Tom Mulcair on a federal level in 2015, he moved to the center,
and
he said, we're going to balance the budget.
He was completely unlikable.
And he was completely unlikable.
Yeah, but also yeah. a real, like, a guy who, like, played hardball and, mm-hmm. like, completely went against every feeling that Jack Layton invoked in people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. He was the opposite of Jack Layton's charisma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like they blew it. I feel like they shot themselves in the foot. They wasted a large opportunity.
Do you vote for the party leader, or do you vote for the person in your riding?
It's interesting. In the last federal election, I voted for the party leader.
Mm-hmm. And who'd you vote? You voted NDP?
I voted in the last federal election.
Yeah.
I voted Liberal.
You voted Liberal?
I voted for Justin.
Yeah.
Who I believe he and I would be great friends if we knew each other. I really
How
like
come?
We're, well, I think we're close in age.
Yeah.
We both really like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have kids. We could talk about that.
Yeah. I bet he's pretty good at, like, an arms scene. I bet he'd be a real fun improv partner.
Oh, yes.
You guys could have an improv duo.
He would do so well. I feel like, yeah. No, I feel like, when I think about unmet potential, I think my true, like, the true potential waiting for me is to be a good friend and comrade of Justin Trudeau's.
He does have an inner circle of bros.
I could
Maybe
be in
you
want
to insinuate yourself.
That's exactly
there.
The kind of bro circle I want to be in, because I feel like it would be gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. I like
gentle, inclusive, multicolored.
100%. And then probably there'd be a very, very, like, dark inner circle where we could say what we want and make jokes and things.
Because he needs that.
Yeah,
he needs to let off steam
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah.
He's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you voted for the Big Red Machine. I always voted NDP.
Uh-huh.
And because I actually knew so little that I liked it when Mean Tom said, I'm going to balance the budget.
Sure.
Whereas that lost all the NDPers who knew anything about politics.
Right.
But I was like, I love the idea of a balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to take care of people that I'm too lazy to help out with?
And then
this is perfect.
And then brilliant move. Like, Justin Trudeau was like, no, we're gonna run a deficit. Like, he said that, didn't he?
Yeah, he called it investing in our children.
Yes.
And the country was like, fuck yeah,
well,
let's do it.
He also promised that this would be the last first past the post federal election.
Yeah, now that was really disappointing, especially since I learned what proportional representation is.
Yes.
And I just thought, man, I learned about that just in time for him to flip-flop. And I thought, fuck.
I know.
That was such a missed opportunity.
It was a great promise and a terrible disappointment. I think
it was.
I think if he's hurt in the next election, that'll be why.
Oh, and I think that the pipeline, don't you think the Kinder Morgan?
Oh,
do you
yeah.
think that'll hurt?
Maybe.
Bill Morneau again? Maybe. People are going to remember the Aga Khan, Bill Morneau again,
mm-hmm.
and Justy Trues in India and blowing it in China. So far.
Okay,
and
yeah.
then that flip-flop with electoral reform.
Yeah.
There's like six really big fuck-ups so far.
Right.
And the election's right around the corner. It's like it's more than a year from now.
But the India thing's wardrobe, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, and also they invited a terrorist to dinner.
Oh, well, all right.
But mostly the wardrobe. I mean, please, enough with the pandering. Okay, we gotta go. Did we talk about everything?
Let's see. Do we have to go? Is it done?
Yeah, I like to keep it under an hour.
Okay, well,
yeah,
but I was going to read some erotic literature.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Well, let's...
You
let's,
get the erotic literature going, and I'll pitch you my idea for...
Let's pitch some stories. Let's pitch
the new incarnation for Politicized.
Okay.
And we can even change the name. I have one other microphone, and I want, like, one other comedian.
Yeah.
And then you, and then we have funny chats about politics.
Oh, that's fun. I like that. Because let's see. Did we cover everything? We didn't talk about who we think is going to win the election.
No. No, we didn't.
I think the conservatives are going to win.
Me too.
Do you want to talk briefly about whether strategic voting is a good idea or a bad idea?
Sure.
I think it's a bad idea.
Why?
Because I don't think it works.
And how come?
I think you need a lot of people on board for it to work, and I don't think you'll ever get that many people. Also, I feel like if you're strategically voting, you are not helping the system by not picking the person you actually think is the best
candidate. Yeah, how come?
Because you're voting against somebody instead of voting for somebody.
Yeah, I agree, and I learned this from the Green candidate when she came in here and talked to me. And she talked about, I can't remember what she called it, but how every vote is worth $2.50 from Elections Ontario or Elections Canada.
I read this online just today.
So when you do a protest vote and like go, well, normally I would... I hate Doug Ford, so I'm going to vote for the NDP, even though I don't normally vote NDP.
Mm-hmm.
I vote Green. I am giving my money to the NDP, to a party that I don't believe in.
Oh, right.
So I'm actually sinking the party that I believe in.
Yes.
Now, she also said, if you're in Parkdale High Park, where we are now, then you can go ahead and vote with your heart.
Oh, right.
Because it's
so going to
be... So is yours.
I live in University
You're
going to
have... who's that? Moritz Stiles?
It's Jessica Bell is the NDP candidate, and Joanne Davis is the Liberal candidate.
So great. You got left-wing, powerful, competent, smart women vying for it. Same as in this. Yeah. If you're in Etobicoke in Ford Nation, you better vote strategically.
I guess.
Don't
or
you think?
I don't know. I can't get behind it because I think you're blowing your own chance to have your voice heard once every 4 years.
Yeah, that's true. But then now you're really gonna vote like
I mean
who's
I'm
gonna
not
vote
saying,
liberal.
I mean yeah.
How
I mean,
is that gonna help?
Well, it puts one vote on the registry of everybody who voted and says this one person wanted the Liberals.
It's true, but vote distribution is going to kill the NDP. If Liberal votes went to the NDP, maybe there wouldn't be a Tory government.
Yeah, maybe. But what if I don't like the Liberals? What if I don't like the NDP or the Conservatives?
There's plenty of reasons to not like the NDP. There's plenty of reasons to absolutely be afraid of the Conservatives.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Doug Ford being run by like five Harperites.
Yeah, that is what's going to happen.
It's awful.
It's going to be an
ex-Mike awful
Harris
bench
dude coming in. Yeah.
And they are going to slash and burn this province.
Mm-hmm. That said, I still don't think any attempt at strategic voting, maybe I'm being cynical, but I have not seen it work yet, and I don't...
It didn't work in 2015 federally? Because there are plenty of vote liberal, vote strategic get NDP votes over to the Liberals so we bury this Harper.
I did not see the election go that way. I saw Justin Trudeau actually change people's minds, because I Googled strategic voting today because I was thinking about it, and I saw an article from the early end of the 2015 federal election, and it was an article about how people are trying to get Liberals to vote NDP because that was the strategic vote to get the NDP elected.
Oh, is that when the Liberals were in fourth place or whatever?
Yes, the Liberals were like the rump of the parliament, right?
Yeah.
But I think Justin Trudeau just ran the best campaign and changed enough minds that he won a majority.
He totally did. He's a great campaigner. 2019 is going to be exciting.
It's
because
the bloc has
imploded.
Oh boy.
Martine, she resigned today.
Who's that?
I can't say it.
But who does she lead?
She was the leader of the bloc.
Okay.
So they're imploding. So that means there's going to be a whole bunch of powerful French votes going to the Liberals.
Possibly, or the Conservatives, because the French hated the Liberals. That's why the Conservatives won the first time in 2006.
But Justin's from Quebec.
It's true. But
they're gonna go with their native son.
They don't always.
And luckily, he's white. Because we know those French people,
they do
not like a turban and a brown fella.
It's true. To answer two more questions that you asked me, but I didn't answer. Where do I get my news? I let the important news come to me. I just trust. I trust that I'm gonna hear it.
You're just like, no, fuck you. I'm not going there. You're
no,
coming to me.
It's gonna come to me.
Yeah, good. I like your swagger.
Thank you. And am I gonna vote locally or provincially?
Right.
I've decided that I'm going to go with the best candidate. I think the best local candidate that I think will do the best in the legislature.
I always voted NDP for my entire life, federally and provincially.
Yeah.
And this year I voted Green.
Oh.
And it was because of interviewing her.
Oh.
Helena Zalucki.
Yeah.
And how smart she was. And
yeah.
I read the platforms.
Yeah.
And the Green one makes almost perfect sense. There's one part in there where it sounded a bit like we're going to find inefficiencies.
Uh-huh.
It was along those lines.
Uh-huh.
It was right at the bottom.
Yeah.
That was the only part. The rest of it made so much sense that I thought, well, while I can vote with my heart, I'm going to.
Sure. I think that's great. I think it makes a big difference when we get to actually personally meet the candidates.
It makes a huge difference, and I've never made an effort before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went down to the advanced polling, that's another thing you have to do. Anybody, like, don't line up on election day. That's for fools.
Oh,
go
yes.
before.
I know.
Roll in. There's no one there.
I couldn't get my act together.
You're in and out in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was a thrill to have voted with my heart.
Mm-hmm.
To have voted. I don't know why. Maybe it was because I had just talked to her. Maybe it was because I finally made a decision because I was waffling. Maybe it was because democracy seems to be a little bit under attack. Something about it, it was like, that was great.
See, isn't that better than strategically voting?
It's so much better.
Yeah.
You're a real salve, Paul Bates. Thanks so much for coming.